Vihe ba bone te take, ha goranga bole dage, narutama mage taro sangha. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Maharaj, question from Ophir B. Yavetz from Israel. Pranam, Honorable Goswami.
Shalom.
Shalom. By Vaishnav standard, I'm full. By
fool or full?
Full. The fool. Fool.
If you think you are fool, full in yourself, then you are fool.
I have all vices. What hope do I have to be connected to the servants of family of the Lord? I'm far away at Israel and I ask for your mercy.
Once Srila Gurudev said that, only two things we know for certain, that we are fallen and that Krishna is merciful to the fallen. So, in fact, it is the fallen who stake their claim first. We'll see, even in the statements of great devotees, that they will, in acknowledging their lack of qualifications and or fallenness, that they say, they'll make proposals like, if you want to really test the purifying capacity, disinfecting capacity of your mercy, then you won't find a better subject than me. That's a more poetic way of saying I'm the most fallen. And so they're saying, to really demonstrate the power, the potency of your mercy, you won't find a more suitable candidate than I to, as a test subject. So, I recall once when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and there was another devotee and I, we had to do different seva, and upon completion was class in the temple room. So naturally we would do the seva very quickly. Yeah, that was the impetus, knowing that Prabhupada is going to speak, we want to be there. And so one day when we finished, I said, all right, let's go, And he said, oh, I can't go. And I was saying, why? Prabhupada's, in the next room. So he said, I'm too fallen. And at first I thought, well, you're being unacquainted with people speaking and this style. Momentarily, I thought, oh, I could see the sense of that. But then I thought, well, wait a minute, upon further reflection, isn't the idea like acknowledging that we are fallen souls, riddled with flaws, that we go and hear from Prabhupada, bow down before him, be the beneficiaries of his merciful glance, like the Nartam song, today's his appearance day. One of them, Ebaru Koruna Koru Vaishnava Goshai, and the line about Ganga Parasha, the purifying capacity of the Ganga. By repeated bathing, one becomes purified. But by once being bathed in the glance of the Vaishnava, you achieve that. So if we acknowledge, and that's good, to be honest, candid about our position, doinya, Atmani Vedam Gotri Tevam. It's interesting in that sequence that Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins with Dvainyam. Because sometimes we hear it structured differently. But there, Dvainya is first. And it seems most appropriate. Some recognition of the situation. You know, your ontological GPS at present. And the confessional poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taking himself as, or expressing what is the position of a conditioned soul. In one of the songs in Sharanagati, we know there's Amar Jivana song, but another song he says, there is no sinful activity that I have not committed thousands of times. Sometimes in the news we hear of horrible, horrendous things, and often we'll hear someone say, how could anyone do that? Or we think, and with the implication like, I would never do that. I might do certain, but not this, never. Could never sink that low. But actually, if anyone has, anyone can. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what did he say? There is no sinful activity I have not committed thousands of times. That's a healthier way to view the situation. We hear of Jagayan Madhai, but I recall when we first read about them, coming from the Western world, it didn't seem like they were that sinful. We sort of had to take it at face value. Well, you know. But so I said to Guru Maharaj once, I said, because Kaviraj Goswami says, Jagai madhai hoite muise papista, purise rakita hoite muise lagista. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If you hear my name, you'll lose your pious credits. If you vibrate my name, you'll go down. But I said to Guru Maharaj once, I said, he's saying that, but we know that Kaviraj Goswami is such an exalted soul. But he's saying this. I said, what if you actually are more sinful than Jagai and Madhai? But I was surprised by Guru Maharaj's answer. Is first, he told me, he said, what Kaviraj Goswami is expressing is sincere. It's not opposing. Also, he's not thinking, oh, here's poetic expression, some hyperbole. He's saying these are sincere feelings. He feels himself as such. This is a particular depth of negativity being expressed by him. And Guru Maharaj equates negativity with humility. This is negativity viewed in positive light, or in a substantial way. The depth of negativity is a measurement of how deep the appreciation is. That's why he's saying we must take what Kaviraj Goswami says seriously and understand it's not posturing, it's not poetic hyperbole. This is how he feels. But it reveals to us the depth of his penetration in the positive realm, and how much the supreme positive is attracted to that sort of negative assertion, that type of humility being expressed. So that he told me. But he also said, then perhaps such plenary feelings are descending in you. In other words, because I was saying, what if you actually are? Predicating it on that he's not, but somehow saying these things. But what if the sad story to tell is you actually are more sinful than these gentlemen? My grandmother said, such feelings are descending in you. Like, if you feel that way, really? In a genuine way? Then that's good. So, I know someone was signing, Dina Dham. At the end of their correspondence, Dina, like, most fallen, right? And Gurudev said, it's too much. And we know one of the, Prabhupada said, or Prabhupada's stories is when someone described themselves as the most fallen, and he allegedly said, you're not the most anything. that would be, like Dostoevsky says in Notes from the Underground, that he said, I always wondered with the man who begins by saying, I am an ugly man, I am an unhappy man, I am a sick man. I thought, this is worth reading. That's the opening line. Sort of resonated, had a certain resonance. But that person goes on to say, he's thinking of his own position as a hypocrite and saying, on the one hand, I was raising a glass and toasting the highest, the most beautiful, the ultimate. And then in the next moment, I was capable of sinking into the most vile slime. He's saying, that's the kind of person I am. That's why it's powerful writing, because it has a touch of this sentiment there. But when he said, about being a hypocrite? He said, if I was just a hypocrite, he said, why, it would be an occupation. Like then I'd be somebody with something to do. I'm not even that. So to be the most, not even. But if it's a candid assessment, atma samiksha means self-analysis. And rather than we're saying these things because it's expected of us to say these things, or we think it is, or we see the statements of the great Vaishnavas and we're appropriating them. And I'm not saying that's the case here, just these are things to be considered. But if it's a genuine feeling, then one is a suitable candidate for mercy. But as the saying goes, God helps those that help themselves. What are we willing to give? One thing to acknowledge, another thing to submit to the prescription. We know often people complain of some illness or some condition. They go to a doctor. The doctor gives them a prescription. A prescription and a proscript, like what to do, and here's the medicine you take. And they go away and they don't do that. I'm one of them. I remember going to Prabhupada's Kaviraj, this Krishnananda Tarkatirtha with Vaishnava Maharaj, Srila Srava Prabhu. And he'd give some prescription, and some medicine, but some do's and some don'ts. And I found each time I started modifying the do's and the don'ts and immediately modifying what he told. Then when I didn't get the result, I'm blaming him. Or his medicine is not efficacious. Or questioning his credentials. Out of desperation or having tried everything else, I decided to follow strictly what he said to a T. And it worked. And I was very surprised. And then I thought, why this time you actually followed and got the this time you actually followed and got the result. The reason you didn't get the results the other time, you weren't really following. You were cherry-picking what you wanted to follow and eliminating other things not. So, Gurudev once quoted the saying that along these lines that, give me some metal, the swordsmiths, if there is such a word, says, give me some metal and I'll make you a sword. I need a sword to cut through this. Give me some metal, I'll make you a sword. Are we prepared to offer some metal? That's a pun in English, because there's the word metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. Means like what you're made of. But, so, doinya, that sort of hopelessness that accompanies one speaking of Dostoevsky in the same work, Notes from the Underground. He says that humiliation is one of the most intense forms of consciousness. We could have a discussion about what's humility and humiliation, or how they might, how one might, I think humiliation might bring one to the platform of humility in some cases. But he says humiliation, abject humiliation is the most intense form of consciousness. So again, but what is it really based upon? Humility, not humiliation, but humility is recognition of one's being in the relative proximity of greatness. I mean, something greater than me. Like, that's at the base of Guru and His Grace intro. To error is human, to error is inevitable for all being not perfect. Still, there's an element within us that seeks perfection. If we could give it to ourselves, we would have achieved it by now. What it leads us to is the recognition of that the perfect exists beyond ourselves, outside of ourselves, and we're in need of help. Right? Sometimes Guru Maharaj say, when you realize not only can you not help others, you cannot even help yourself. That's doinya. Right? We could say helpless, hopeless. That leads one to atma niveda, to give oneself, to offer oneself, to be remade in a sense. When Mahaprabhu is praising Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I traveled all over South India, I didn't find a Vaishnava like you. Guru Maharaj says indirectly, Mahaprabhu is endorsing himself. Because Sarvabhauma, the best version of Sarvabhauma, is a creation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, with willful participation. So when Mahaprabhu said, I didn't meet anyone like you. Yeah, after Mahaprabhu got through with him, no one compares to that. Ramananda is a special case, exempt from this analysis. It means not in the line, all the others who were met. So, and what we see from the great Vaishnavas, because we might think, well, this is the path, the advice for the fallen section. But what are the higher devotees? We see, oh, it's the same thing. Today is the appearance of Narottam Thakur. What is he doing? How great he is, we have indications from Mahaprabhu and everyone in this line, as much as it is the Rupanuga line, it's Narottam's line. But he is taking himself as unqualified, lowly, and in a mood of self-sacrifice and self-offering, approaching the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami. And this is that Narottam whom, in his lifetime, Mahaprabhu was heard sometimes just as we calling his name. Just as we heard, he would say, Bap Pundarik, Bap, Father Pundarik, and mystify the devotees. Who is this Pundarik? And why Bap? Bap means father. And then they found out, who is Pundarik Vidyaniti? He's Premaniti. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Radharani, descended in Gauralila. And Mahaprabhu's Radha Bhava Duti Subalita. So now when he says Bap, as Radharani crying, Father, how heart-melting that is, you think, for Vrishabhanu Maharaj appearing as Pundarik Vidyaniti. And Krishna, as Mahaprabhu is calling him Father, crying out, and he's collapsing. When they embraced, it appears as though Mahaprabhu merged into him. And they embraced, I don't know. Pundarik Vidyaniti was in a 6-hour to 9-hour trance, a comatose-like state from external point of view, but so deeply penetrated in the upper world. So as Mahaprabhu would take his name, sometimes mysteriously, he would be taking the name of Narottam. And the devotees would say, who is this? Who is this Narottam? This Narottam is about to appear, or a baby, or just like in that stage. So Mahaprabhu's expressing his separation, in the depths of his separation, his anchoring for the association of Narottam Thakur. And how heartbreaking it must be for such a substantial devotee to come in the aftermath of the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. That's too much. Like Vrindavan Das expresses some things in a similar way, but for Narottam, think of that. This is someone, you know, who's the personification of Gaur Prem. And he appears after Mahaprabhu, just after. That would be too much to bear for the heart of such an exalted devotee. But nonetheless, that's the case. But that Narottam, who's so beautiful, and the delight of his mother and father, and they realize they have such an extraordinary son, he leaves home, goes to Vrindavan, and he wants to approach the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami, Parshad, Mahaprabhu, But Lokanath Goswami is, perhaps we can say, asocial. We see sometimes these pictures of these saints and they have a water pot next to them. They're like meditating deep. They're engaged in nirjan bhajan. Their bhajan is direct service in the upper world. They're not practitioners, incidentally. And sometimes we see to the side, Kamandalu, water pot. His water pot is turned upside down. So if someone comes, they won't go, "Excuse me, could I trouble you?" Oh, they know he doesn't have any water. That is water pot upside down. Not easy to approach. But Narottam is got that vavasayatmika buddhi. And what is his... This is interesting, because as we see, how did Ishwara Puri gain the favor of Madhavendra Puri? What does it say? Swahaste marjan, with his own hand, cleansing the stools of Madhavendra Puri on his disappearance bed. That type of seva. We think something, well, the least, we're looking for executive secretary seva. Right? This Ishwara Puri, he's, for him, Madhavendra Puri is 100% divine. There's no aspect of him that is objectionable in any way. So Narottam Thakur, what is his strategy? Again, the favor of Lokanath Goswami. These type of sadhus, they live in some place, and usually in a holy place, they go away to the forest nearby to meet the calls of nature. They have to go. Sometimes they're in a place that's so holy, you have to go away. You can't do those things there. So there's some place where he goes in the forest. And he starts noticing that where he goes, how everything's like perfectly cleaned and neat and swept and orderly and looks paka. And he's thinking, this isn't normal. And he's saying, what is this? And they said, there's a boy who does this every day and as a service for you. What? What kind of boy is that? And then he see Narottam Thakur. I mean, he looks like God as a descriptor, divine form. And Lokanath Goswami finally accepts, he realizes if he has this type of understanding, that the least connection with that plane, it's one of the identifying traits that Srila Rupa Goswami and his praise of Srimati Radharani herself, Hari Paranaka Koti Prishta Burjanta Simha Tatamapi Kalyantam Prishna Pramudita Madhuraksi Vaidagvidika Guru api guru kirting radhika marchayami. Hari paranaka. One of the reasons why so much emphasis is always put on the lotus feet, right? Sri Guru Charana Padma, Artham. Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. And always the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, the lotus feet of Sri Guru, the lotus feet, lotus feet. Why is that so emphasized? For many reasons, but one is that that's generally considered the least aspect. Right? Like when Kunti is offering her prayers, she says, Namak Pankaja Nabhaya, Namak Pankaja Maline, Namak Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangrihe. Because she's Krishna's auntie and socially in a superior position, she doesn't want to embarrass him by going for the feet. This is very beautiful. She knows who is Krishna very well. Hear her prayers. They're so beautiful. Prabhupada liked them. Namasye purusham tvajam ishwaram prakateparam alaksham sarvabhutanam antarbar hirabhastitam Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namah. There's many. They go on, they're all nice. Sri Krishna Krishna Rishabh, Sri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishna Rishabhavani Drug. They're beautiful sounding and express many wonderful siddhanta. So this is peculiar. She, in this prayer, says, Namak Pankaja Nabhaya. I offer my dear lotus navel, Namak Pankaja Maline, and to your garland of lotuses, Namak Pankaja Netraya, to your lotus eyes, Namaste Pankajangri, and at the end, to your lotus feet. Where you would normally start, she concluded, because she's socially in a superior position. She didn't want to embarrass her nephew. But that said, it just underscores again why the lotus feet, they're the least aspect. But in this prayer, Srila Rupa Goswami, it's prayer to Radharani, Radhastakam, he's saying, Hari Paranaka Koti Prishta Parjanta Simha, saying that Radharani considers not only lotus feet, but the nails on the lotus feet, like the lotus toenails. That would be the least of the least, right? Because if we say, well, the lotus feet, that's the least. But if we went further and said, well, what would be the least aspect of the lotus feet? Well, then that would be the nails. Right? Hari Padanaka means that. Koti Prishta Parjanta Sima. So it's saying, she considers the divine holy nails on the lotus feet of Krishna to be infinitely superior to her own highest aspect of self, her existence. Right? Millions of times greater. So what it tells us in principle, she considers the least connection with Krishna and the least aspect of Krishna, the least connection, to be of an infinite magnitude greater than her own highest aspect of self. That's the vision, proper vision, depth of vision, seeing Krishna consciousness. Narottam demonstrated that vision. Ishvara Puri demonstrated that vision. And all, Krishna himself, yasya kadapi vasanantala kelanota danyati danyabhavanena kritartamani yogindram durgamagati madhusudanopi tasya namostu vrishabhanu vibhodishepi. Krishna, he considers the breeze that comes from the skirt of Radharani is of inconceivable value. So if we see what's going on here thematically, this type of measurement where it's all inverted in opposition to the self-certifying, ostentatious claims, displays the claims of achievement of imposters, right? Neophytes and sahaja imposters. The genuine devotee, it's always in the opposite direction. The greatest magnitude of appreciation for the least. That, recognizing that sort of vision in Narottam Thakur, Lokanath Goswami is accepting him. But what I mean to say here is that Narottam, what qualifies him for the highest quality and quantity of mercy is this vision, and it's the vision of all great devotees. We see it thematically throughout their expressions. Vanchitosmi, vanchitosmi, vanchitosmi na sangshaya. Vishvam gaura rase magnam sparshopi mamanabhavat. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, vanchitosmi. I've been cheated of this, there is no doubt. What? Oh, how, what is it? With such intensity. What does he say? I've cheated of what? He said, Vishwa Gaura Rasa Magnam, the whole universe was flooded with Gaura Rasa and Gaura Prem. And I was Sparshopi Mamanabhavat. I wasn't touched by a drop. That's ostentatiously what he's saying. What is Guru Maharaj saying? What it means is, what is a flood for others? Guru Maharaj said to him, what is a flood for others is a drop to him. He has such appetite. So, not only for the beginners, the condition, throughout, this sort of feeling and sentiment is there. That's the point I meant to make. It's not a temporary posing. Na prema gandasti drapi mehuro krundami so bhagyavaram prakashitam. Mahaprabhu, here, his heart is mirroring the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. He's echoing what she has expressed, that I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem, what to speak of a drop of that divine substance. So beginning, middle, and end, and everything in between. Not just, oh, this is recommended for those in a fallen position. Any other question? Lokanath Goswami has one disciple. Like Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj has one disciple, Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur has thousands. Lokanath Goswami has one disciple. Narottam Thakur has 100,000. He converted the state of Manipur and so many others. And our songbook is Really, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Thakur. And then some songs from others, but that's it, primarily. The songs of Narottam are everything. We know Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that people were shocked, and he said, "You know, you can get Krishna Prem for 5 rupees. I think, "Babaji Maharaj, what do you say?" I'm serious. That would be the opposite of what we would expect to hear a Shuddha Vaishnava say. He said, "No, you can get Krishna Prem for 5 rupees. And what he meant was the price of Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Parta, the 2 songbooks of Narottam. Saying, what he's telling us, if you have those, you get everything. And he also composed Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, expressing that this is the Rupanuga line. That the ultimate target of the Gaudiyas is the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari. And he even says elsewhere that at the proper approach, he said, "When will my guru take me and offer me in service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa?" Not forgetting his guru, remembering, "When will my Gurudev offer me in service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa?"
Maharaj, greed is one of the anarthas, along with lust, arrogance, and egoism. But is it possible to be greedy for mercy?
Well, it's interesting, because if we take it that the Sanskrit word would be indicating greed would be lolyam. Right, so Rupa Goswami, Upadeshamritam, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Jana Sangas Talolyam Cha Shadbir Bhaktir Vinashit. These are the things that ruin Krishna Bhakti. And there's that word, lolyam, greed. We know when when Bali Maharaj offered the Vaman Dev, Vaman Avatar, a boon, and Vaman Dev, remember, he appears as this dwarf Brahmachari, very beautiful, his umbrella, his padukas, his Brahmachari, saffron, but he's a dwarf. And Bali Maharaj said, "What can I offer you?" And it's appropriate to give some charity to the Brahmins. And Vaman Dev said, 3 steps of land." And Bali Maharaj was saying, "Oh, my boy, obviously you're inexperienced in the world. You don't, and I am a king. I can offer you so much. Ask for something appropriate that that will really serve your interest and be beneficial for you, appropriate to your needs, necessities, something." And Bam and Dave said, "I've heard that it's not good for one's spiritual life to ask for more than you need. I only need 3 steps of land." And I'm following that principle that niyamagraha, taking more than you need, like greed, lolyam, for more than what's necessary is destructive for someone who's trying to be spiritually progressive. Of course, we know then, he said, all right. And with one step, he covers half the universe, the other step, the rest of the universe. He said, I only need three steps. But it was too, he doesn't need any of those things. As Mahavishnu, he's generating universes from his pores. So why would he come in the world? He needs, what, half a universe, a whole universe, or any amount of universe? No, it was the third step. And that's when Bali Maharaj really, what did Vamadeva want all along? He offered himself. You can put your third step on my head. Atma Nivedanam. So there we're told, greed, lolyam, is counterproductive and ruins the devotional attempt. But interestingly, we hear, you know, Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Avitamati, Kriyatam Yudhi Kutopina Labhyate, Tatra Lolyam Mulyam Ekalam, Janmakoti Sukritarana Labhyate. 10 million births of doing the right thing, you won't get it. What is required? Lolyam, greed. So, greed is good or greed is bad? Here, where it's good, it's equated with, you know, hunger. And again, you can't fake hunger. I suppose you can, but we know really you can't. You know when you're hungry. And we know without hunger, we don't feel the necessity to eat. So it means that genuine hunger, not that this is going, that it will, taking myself as a subject and Krishna consciousness as an object of fulfillment, I will acquire, control, and consume that thing. No. But rather the inverse, taking it as the subject and myself as an object, I will offer myself in service. That's the appropriate, the indication that one has some genuine hunger and hankering for a connection with that plane, is self-sacrifice and self-giving, not the desire to devour that thing, to consume it. It's not talking about that type of greed. Sometimes neophyte devotees think, oh, if I just want this, you know, I can force it. I can force by chanting Krishna Nam a certain number of times. Once the secretary of Srila Prabhupada came under the influence of Prakriti Sahajiyas, and he left and went to Radhakunda, and he wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and he said, it's interesting, his word choice. He said that, Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya. He's showing what we must do. If we chant 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam, that's like 192 rounds, 300,000 names. If we chant 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam, or no, what he said, when he said, Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya, he didn't say, he's showing us, he said, we must imitate him. It's interesting that he used the word imitation. You figure, if he'd been a little more clever, he said, we must follow his example. He actually used the word imitate. He said, we must imitate him. And if we do so, meaning chant 192 rounds a day, then Krishna must give us prem. It's like karma kanda. Krishna doesn't have a say in the matter. Hare Krishna, Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. You know. Krishna has nothing to say about it. About the distribution of himself. So the loyam that's described, it doesn't mean like that. Like, I want this so badly, the way somebody wants a car or an iPhone or a computer or a woman or a man or a thing. It's not talking like that. But who's developed a genuine hunger, genuine hankering. So when Shyamananda Prabhu, disciple of Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj was speaking on this, so he said, then how to develop this hunger? And Guru Maharaj said, associate with the hungry. And I was thinking about that too, that because we were talking about Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa, the Nityananda Prabhu, me and madly intoxicated. Like, say someone wanted to become a drunkard, you know, they could like Google it, you know, read up on it, watch some YouTube videos, you know, and Wikipedia, and get some idea like what this is, and you know. But they might also find out where drunkards congregate, and if they entered there in an association of drunkards, I'd say within 20 minutes to in half an hour, they would know what it means in a very palpable way. They'd be feeling it. So associate with the hungry or those who are mad in intoxication. They're madly intoxicated with Krishna consciousness. By associating with them in any shape or form, however remote, however trivial, inevitably you'll be taken into their zone. The Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Premadan. The remuneration for service to such devotees is that similar type of devotion appears in one's heart. That's why in this, we're talking Narottam Thakur, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Say More Sampada, Say More Bhajana Pujan, Say More Vrata Tapa, Say More Mantra Japa. So some will render that as, you know, let the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami be the object of my mantra, my japa, my tapa, my, like that. But another way is that the service of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa is my mantra, my japa, my tapa, my everything. The service to those lotus feet is everything to me. Not that I'll do these other things and achieve that. No. The service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa is my mantra, my japa, my tapa, my vrata, my everything. So why did I say that?
Remuneration to the
service. Oh, the remuneration. Yes, but service. Asraya loya bhaje tari krishna nahi krishna nahi tyaje akari marani sub. I forget that always. But again, it's Narottam thing. Don't try for Krishna directly. Take shelter of his devotee. And that means, when we say take shelter, associate, means service. Always means service. Association is not association without service. Service connection. That's proper association. Look at Narottam again. He's just thinking, oh, let me just hear Lokanath. No, he did some practical service to show, to demonstrate his appreciation and implied gratitude. As I've mentioned, when asking Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, about a particular verse in the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami, and he explained something, and I said, oh, when did you commit that to memory or study this? He goes, oh, I never did. I said, yet you know all the slokas. He said, yes, because when Guru Maharaj is bathing, he said, I am his servitor. Remember, he did all service for Guru Maharaj. In Guru Maharaj's final days, other devotees were deputed. But Srila Govinda Maharaj did all the personal service for Srila Guru Maharaj when he was younger, including, it means cleaning his room, bathing, toilet facilities, washing the clothes, everything. He said, so when I would come every day to collect his clothes and clean his room, Guru Maharaj would be with his load in the bathroom going, you know, Raso Dama Kamar Budama Dura Dama Ujula Tanur Jatinam Utankshus Tarani Koti Vidyoti Bhasana Hiranyanam Lakshmi Varana Vivavang Angikarucha Satchetana Kime Punar Vidashur Yashati Vadam. He would be chanting the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami as he poured the water over his head. That's how Guru Maharaj bathes in the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami. But he's saying, I'm sweeping the floor, taking his clothes, cleaning everything, and here. Sadao Pasha Sriman Dritta Manujakaya Pranayatam Bhadvi Girvane Girisha Parmesha Parvati Shabhaktevya Sudham Nijabhajana Mudram Upadisham Satchetanna Kame Punar Apidashwar Yashati Padam. So this is a perfect example through service. It's being, what is in the heart of Guru Maharaj is being transferred to the heart of Gurudev. You know? Cleaning the floor, washing. He has admittedly his extraordinary capacity, but this is their pastime. But it's demonstrating perfectly how this transmission, the heart-to-heart transmission, takes place. He may ostensibly be neglecting his mantra, japa, tapa, brata, datta, datta, because the service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and the Rupanugadhara, Sri Rupa's delegation, is my mantra, my japa, my tapa, my vrata, my everything. That is more specifically the line of Sri Rupa as it's perceived and practiced in Sri Chaitanya Sarasvatmat under the guidance of Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Bhakti Sandra Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj.